And we have items five, six, and seven, and eight, Madam Clerk.
That's correct.
First up, we have secondary plan amendment of 408 Elgin Avenue, and our applicant is Ross Mitchell, and joined by Kathy Tring and Linda Eng. Okay, welcome. And if you could just state your name and addresses for the record, please, that'd be great.
Sure. My name is Ross Mitchell. I'm at 10 Prairie Way. And I'm here to represent Young's Trading. We have Kathy Trin here and Linda Trin.
Linda Eng.
Okay, sorry. Would you like to state your name or your address, I guess?
I'm Kathy Trin. I'm at 397 William.
I'm Linda Eng. I live at 68 River Haven Grove.
Welcome, welcome. Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys have up to 10 minutes to make your presentation, and then after that, we'll hear from the other delegates.
I can start a presentation, and for the clerk, I'll just make copies of what we're going to go through. This is, how many, there's four there.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, everyone, chairman and member of council. I would like to start by thanking everyone for taking their time to come out to share our concerns and thoughts about our neighborhood. I myself appreciate a relationship with anyone where we can have a clear, direct communication so that we can solve any misunderstandings that we may have about reaching our goal toward a better, healthier neighborhood. Let me start by apologizing my presentation. I'm kind of nervous here, actually. However, I'll try my best because I know this will work toward a better future for our neighborhood. Why this issue about improving this neighborhood is so important to me, it is because my family have been a part of it, not only because we operate a family neighborhood grocery store that serves the people in the area and areas in other part of the city, but also because myself and my sibling grew up in the area. Either me or my siblings went to Victoria Albert School for elementary school, and Hugh John McDonald for junior high, Daniel McIntyre and Tech Vaught for high school. This area is part of my family history, and we all want to see this neighborhood vibrant with colors, culture, spirits, and energy. Let me bring up a dark event from the past. November 23rd, 2005 is exactly 5 years ago from today's, our old store burnt down. During the period, we had many choices and opportunity to relocate our grocery store elsewhere. We thought of the benefit of doing so due to the constraints of the existing or current location. The thought of limited parking constraints being located in this area, we thought of a deteriorating neighborhood. We thought of the increase in petty crime and vandalism in the area. We thought of the minor few in the neighborhood who did not appreciate our contribution to it. The benefit of relocating seems to outweigh the negatives at that time. Let me tell you, it was a hard decision for us to make. In the end, rather than choosing what would make good business sense, we base our decision on sentimental reason. We thought relocating would give up, meaning giving up on our neighborhood. That is why we're here today, and that is why I'm here tonight with you all. Our family will not give up in working toward a better neighborhood. We believe that this is a positive light. There's a positive light at the end of this tunnel, and we're here to stay to work toward it. We strongly urge everyone to join us to be part of it. Our store is not just a typical grocery store. It's a family-run ethnic store that helps serve people from different cultures and areas of the city. It draws traffic, people, culture, spirits, and vibrant energy to the downtown area, and more importantly, to our neighborhood. We want to be part of the positive change that is being done so far, the River Downtown Campus and the Old Market Square. In this day and age, with the increasing competition from the big box stores and their ample parking, it's extremely difficult for a neighborhood family-run grocery store to compete. Our customer wants convenience. It comes to parking, especially in harsh Winnipeg winter. If we can't compete successfully, not only will it be a disappointment for our family, it will mean It will mean job losses to our team of employees who lived in this neighborhood, and it will mean customers in the neighborhood will have to take the bus or taxi to the big box store with ample parking lot to do their grocery shopping. It will mean the building be boarded up, sold, or used as a warehouse. It will mean a more quiet and dangerous neighborhood where vandals and criminals are more likely to come out, and therefore good civilians are less likely to walk around. This tonight is more than a request to convert the lot into a parking lot. It's a request to help a small business to compete with big box stores. It is a request to help us provide jobs for the people living in the area. It's a request to help minimize vandalism, crimes. It's a request for change to a more vibrant culture, spirit, and energetic neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Photo showing the site, Elgin Avenue, Allen Avenue, Main Store is here, there's a back lane, and the parking lot is right around here. This is an old Google Earth photo, so this is the old store, the previous store that's on the site. And this is looking southwest from the corner of Elgin and Allen. The store is over here. The main entrance is visible here. This is the one remaining house. Fronted onto Allen, and I know that the owners are here tonight. This is the subject site we're dealing with right here. It's currently a gravel lot. There was a house on it, Mr. Chairman, at one time, and it was destroyed by fire. This lot was zoned. It is currently zoned, and this application is subdivision application would combine these two properties into one title and rezone this portion to Young's own this house here. It's being rehabilitated. It's, I think the color's changed since this picture was taken, and you've installed the windows. And I believe the plan may be for family members to live there. This is a site plan, Mr. Chairman. A site plan for the parking area. As you can see, this the front portion here is being landscaped with a combination of different colored stone, actually. There's a lot of foot traffic through here. It's a very busy bus, one of the busier bus stops I've ever seen. Whenever I've been around there, there's people taking the bus. And so the idea would be to provide bench seating in a sort of a shrub bed, plant some trees, colored a stone, a new fence, parking fence, and a shrub bed of trees. This approach would remain, and then the parking would be on the west side of the fence. Here, this is the current bus stop. There's a bench here, and I'm not sure how it got there. It looks like something somebody purchased at Rona or Home Depot and chained down. There's a couple of garbage pails there. I know the Young's Trading sort of send someone around to clean up trash. I've got a picture of someone doing it, actually. So they kind of maintain the area. It looks actually better now than it has. Joe probably does his share of working to keep this area clean because you're surrounded by the parking lot, so I know it's in there. So there's just the details showing the, again, planning details, the parking fence, a fairly attractive fence down the street. There is an issue with parking enforcement around the store. Apparently,
It's open season by the commissioners. There's lots of probably loading zones and whatnot that people tend to ignore. So, and I understand that most people actually have to pay the ticket because the customer gets in the order. So there is congestion, parking, traffic congestion. You're considering this application, Mr. Chairman, and members. I would suggest that some of the items you may wish to keep in mind. It is a local family-owned business. It's very vibrant, very active. I believe they've operated the store here since about 1987 or 6. They are long-term residents in the neighborhood. They employ about 30 people. I understand they all sort of live in the Point Douglas, downtown, Centennial, Alexander, maybe some from the West End. They're all in the area, employees. Stores like this, they bring activity, but they are a focal point for community life, socialization. It's certainly multi-ethnic, whenever I've been there, it's just been a high of activity. It also it brings people into the area, and I think that's important too. It gets people comfortable with the Centennial West Alexander area. I know I frequent the store, and when I heard it was being rebuilt there, I was very pleased. Because I know from my experience as a city planner and resident of the downtown that places like this are absolutely needed. The lot itself is shallow. It's not very, obviously the house that's in the back must have been carved off at one time to make that lot shallower. It's not exactly ideal for development. And again, a concern would be that it would just sort of stay not really in the area. I think the landscaping will improve the area. Certainly, there will be more pleasant for users to use. These things are always trade-offs. I understand there's a neighborhood plan in place, and the effort that went into developing that plan is nothing to be scoffed at. I worked on those plans myself, and I understand that the neighborhood has a direction it wants to move in. The businesses in these communities, they're not static, as some of the plans tend to be with their boundaries and whatever. These businesses have to keep evolving and serving their clientele. So there are trade-offs to these, having, you know, places like this in the neighborhood. And certainly, young people are more active and vibrant businesses in their downtown. Residents that are here for information or otherwise, and if there's any questions, I can field them from the committee now.
Okay, thank you very much, Ross, Kathy, and Linda. Any questions of the committee at this point? Okay, Ross, we'll ask you and your delegation to stand down for a second. Is there anyone else in support of the application that wishes to speak? Okay, I'll move on to those registered as opposition. Okay. If there's a spokesperson, that'd be great. When I call your name up, you can indicate if you wish to speak or just be registered in opposition. First up is Allison Dawn. Registered as opposition.
We have their address.
Yeah, 363 Pacific. Alan Wise.
Yes.
Wish to speak? Okay. Good evening. Name and address for the record, please.
Good evening. My name is Alan Wise. I am the Executive Director of Central Neighborhoods Development Corporation. The address of the corporation is 210-388 Donald Street. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Councillors Sharma and Ross. Congratulations. And Just wanted to address some of the issues around the proposed development in front of you. First and foremost, just wanted to touch on the fact that CNDC, Central Neighborhoods Development Corporation, our objective is to maintain a vibrant and inclusive neighborhood that includes businesses and residences. So I submit that the proposed development in and of itself, which is asking for amendment to the secondary plan, has not taken into consideration some of the promises or some of the particulars of the secondary plan that were voted on by the council. I bring your attention to Chapter 9 of the plan management on page 38, which says any such development should take into consideration meaningful input by the residents. And some of the notes made there include identifying development applications that require proponents to provide community input, opportunities prior to advancing development applications, including open houses, focus groups, mailings and surveys, informal and formal discussions, design charters or workshops, none of which I submit was had taken place. There was initially a notification placed in, I take it was the Free Press, on August, I'm assuming, if I'm not wrong, August 26, 2010. But aside from that, there was no, I submit to you, no meaningful community input sought to present any such amendments to the neighborhood. Aside from the fact is that as a part of what we do in the area, we get grants, we get funding from provincial government and from city to develop such areas, such as the planner mentioned, landscaped areas, parks. I submit to you that only last summer we spent about $160 combined provincial and city funding to develop one of the parks in the area, Lizzie Park, you're aware of, Councillor Pacticat. And any such developments, again, have been taking place with community input. And they have been very successful. And the amount, I don't know if I mentioned, it was about $160,000 in combined two levels of government that funded the project. So my issue is with the process. Process has not been inclusive at all. And on top of that, the issue of rezoning is another concern that CNDC would like to raise. The issue of rezoning, the property from a from residential to commercial, raises the question that why, in an area that is supposedly protected by West Alexander Centennial Secondary Plan, there is a need for a change to that or to rezone or change to the zoning bylaw. It seems, and I submit this is just my speculation, that this is nothing but a plan to land assembly, rather. Why should a residential land be designated commercial for the purposes of beautification of the area, or is it just non-accessory use of the parking lot, which is not allowed under the current plan? The secondary plan does not allow for non-accessory parking use. Those are the concerns that CNDC wishes to submit at this point. In conclusion, I just want to reiterate the fact that CNDC, our objective is to maintain a vital, vibrant neighborhood that includes businesses such as Young's, the store that they have on the corner of Ellen and William, and also not to change the residential nature of the area. Turning a lot of land that is considered R2 to C2 would set a precedent that would allow any other speculator, any other land developer, for lack of a better term, deadbeat landlords who are sitting on a piece of land to knock down a house and turn it to a gravel surface parking lot. Okay. And that I submit is against the plan. And I wish to register our opposition to the proposed rezoning as it stands.
Alan?
Thank you.
Any questions of our delegation? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Elizabeth Vieira. Do you wish to speak? Okay, just registered in opposition. G.L. Dong. Wish to speak? Okay, thank you. Name and address for the record, please.
Gord Dong, 363 Pacific Avenue. Good evening, councillors. First, I'd like just to read a statement from my community group. My name is Gord Dong. I am the vice president of the Centennial Community Improvement Association. I have been a resident of Centennial Neighborhood for over 25 years and a member of the Stakeholders Committee on Developing the Secondary Plan. This submission is on behalf of the CCIA and its members. I am here today to express the Centennial Neighborhood's opposition to the proposed variances to the City of Winnipeg's Secondary Plan. As a community, we have long said that we do not need any more parking lots. We do not believe that another parking lot will make Centennial any stronger or more vibrant. For the past 8 years, the CCIA has worked hard and long to revitalize our community. We do not see how a parking lot fits into those plans. What concerns us as a community are the following items. There was no consultation with our community about the proposed variances. The variance does not conform with Clause B or D of Section 247, brackets 3 of the City of Winnipeg Charter. We as a community feel that a parking lot of any size creates a substantial adverse effect on the community, and more specifically the residents of 154 Ellen Street, who will be the most impacted. We think that by allowing this variance, it will create a number of concerns for the residents of the immediate area. These concerns, in brief, would be added traffic load and resulting in noise and exhaust emissions. Another concern is the safety factor. With more parking spaces comes increased traffic in a very small area. In an area, I may add, which has a high volume of pedestrian traffic. This pedestrian traffic consists of many children who attend the elementary school one block north, one block south, or residents of a senior's apartment block one block north. We believe that safety concerns alone should be a reason enough to oppose this variance. In conclusion, I would like to repeat that this variance is contrary to the secondary plan, and just as importantly, it is not supported by the CCIA, which represents the residents of Centennial Neighborhood. That's the statement from the community group. From myself, first I would like to read something from the minutes of September 27, 2006. Compatibility with existing neighborhood and surrounding uses. It is atypical for surface parking lots to be located within residential areas. Further to that point, it is highly atypical for parking lots to be located between residential properties on an exclusively residential block. With that said, parking lots in many cases do have an adverse impact on residential neighborhoods. They do not support interaction among neighbors, and furthermore, when placed on vacant lots, they can eliminate opportunities for strengthening the neighborhood by way of infill housing, which brings new people into the neighborhoods to patronize local community clubs, schools, parks, libraries, etc. And it is more cost-effective since city infrastructure is already in place. Now, this is from the city planner, which this dealt with 406 Elgin, which is adjacent to that lot that in question today. Now, I don't believe anything has changed, so I believe that this should still stand. That being said, there's also no analysis done for this parking lot, which, again, does not meet the criteria. And one final note. Okay, I also challenged the credibility of the applicant. On September 27, 2006, council decision. Council concurred in the recommendation of the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development and adopted the following. And I'll just go past that. But it says that development be constructed in substantial conformance with plans identified as Sheet 1 to 2, Exhibit 9 for file DAZ228/2006, dated July 17, 2006, and thereafter maintained to the satisfaction of the Director of Planning, Property, and Development. Now, what the plan submitted, it doesn't come close. To this date, there has been little conformance with the plans previously mentioned. In the plans, there's supposed to be a 5-foot fence with a small 3-foot section running close to the property line between 406 and 408 Elgin. Instead, the fence that was constructed was only 3 feet in height and in its entire length. Not only this, but since the initial installation of this fence, it has been now moved approximately 8 foot north to the north onto the 408 Elgin property, thus extending the parking lot of 406 Elgin, which again does not conform to the plans presented. Also in the plans, there is mention of trees, sod, interlocking concrete pavers, concrete planters, and a bench. So as far as I can see, there are a few shrubberies and wood chips. Judging from this past record, how can we trust that any new plan submitted will be conformed with? Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dong. Fred Curry?
Mr. Chairman, I'm speak? Here with the
You want to speak last?
Or close to last.
Okay. Jose Vieira? Welcome. Name and address for the record.
I have an office at 832 Notre Dame, Notre Dame at Tecumseh. I've been asked by the Vieira family to speak on behalf of the value of the property and the impact of traffic on a residential property. I'm a member of the Winnipeg Realtors. I've been a member for 19 years of the MLS division and the commercial division.
Sir, what was your name again, sir?
Joe Pereira.
Oh, Joe Pereira. Okay, you're the spokesperson for the Vieira family? You're speaking on their behalf?
No, I'm speaking on behalf of, in respect to the value of the property.
They called up Jose Vieira. I called up a Jose.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Same, close enough.
Okay, so you're Joe Pereira?
Joe Pereira.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, my comments will be brief. It is in my experience of 19 years of working in the area that increased flow of traffic on a residential property, just for a simple comparison would be purchasing a home on Keniston versus Carpathia, the value and the impact of traffic, I would assess that it would have a value, decreased value of anywhere from 10% to 20% if the traffic flow is increased to the rear of the property or anywhere around the property. That would be the negative impact of traffic in my experience as a practicing realtor in the area for 19 years. I also have a large parking lot at 832 Notre Dame, and every morning we deal with remnants of squatting and prostitution leftovers in my parking lot, and parking lots usually can attract that type of negative impact. Those are my comments.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay. We'll move on to Jose Vieira at 154 Ellen.
Yes.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. State your name and address for the record, please.
Name is Jose Vieira, resident at 154 Ellen Street. I've been a resident at 154 Allen Street for the last 36 years. I was born and raised there. Also attended Victoria Albert, Hugh John McDonald, Dan McIntyre. And the house was owned by my grandfather, who's now deceased, for over 50 years. So this property to me means a lot. And in this process here, I've gone around my neighbors. I've explained the situation about a proposed parking lot behind 154 Allen Street. I've got a signed sheet of a petition against the parking lot. I'd like to enter that into of over 70 signatures. In the past, the previous applied client, they got a proposed parking lot accepted for. We've had an incident where we've had a car run into our house, so the safety concerns are right there. And I got pictures of my windows, which will be facing this parking lot. I got three bedroom windows and a living room windows that I can't open for fresh air, and I can't open the blinds because all you see out there is cars. And even though they apply for variance now, they have been using this as a parking lot against the city's wishes. They have moved fence 8 feet. I got pictures of all that. And as a citizen, just got tired of calling the bylaw officer because they weren't respecting the city's wishes. And so I got pictures of that too that I'd like to submit, along with the view from my bedroom windows. And in their proposed last parking lot they got, talked about being good neighbors and stuff like that. What I got put around my neighborhood was three big boulders around my property. Makes my house look like a quarry. And they're trying to revitalize the neighborhood, and I got pictures of that also that I'd like to hand in there. Usually when stores are here to the news all the time, you gain clientele. All of a sudden, if that store does not have the needs for parking capacity, usually you relocate. And obviously, if they're having problems with parking, you shouldn't be taking down residential houses and taking lots and making parking lots for them. And obviously, I'm the last one on this lot, and I'm being pretty much bullied out of this house that I've been in for 50 years. Been owning the family for 50 years, and I don't think that's fair. My wishes aren't being looked at. Me as a resident for a long time aren't even being looked at. We're just going with the parking lot, that's it. We're not. Who cares who lives there? Who cares? He has to breathe in fumes and deal with the safety of my cars coming into the house. And that's not being looked at. Even my own parking in front of my house was changed into a loading zone. I don't think that's fair.
You request for that, sir?
Pardon me?
Did you request for that?
Did I request for that?
For the loading zone?
I called the city, said no. And then in their plan, they take away all this parking from me, and they propose in their proposal saying that they'll give me one parking stall in their new parking lot. How is that fair for me as a citizen that's been in that neighborhood forever when everything is taken away? You got the Red River College students have to pay for parking. They're trying to get education. And people come to the store don't have to pay for parking. How is that fair? That's not fair. I don't think that's right. The city has to look both ways. We're residents too, right? And
Mr. Vieira, now that you see the plan up there,
yes.
What exactly are you, what do you think about the plan?
What do I think about the plan? It's a parking lot. If I open my window, I can't. How am I supposed to live in my residence, looking outside, looking at cars going back and forth when I got two windows on the bottom, and having people open their doors and closing them right by my window, looking, I have no privacy. Plus, not only that, the safety. Somebody loses control of their vehicle, they're going to kill somebody because the window's right there. They can walk right through my house. That's not fair. And, yeah, sure, you're proposing a nice garden. Why haven't you done that before? You had that lot there sitting full of weeds and stuff like that. That should have been done already. If you're worried about the community and making the community look nice, why wasn't that done beforehand? Why now? Because of all of a sudden you guys are trying to get a parking lot. They're trying to propose a nice garden and stuff like that, just to make it look good. It's still a parking lot. And the value of my house, there would be no value to my house. I'm on an island. It's like a Tim Hortons drive-thru, cars going round and around my house. I got letters of support of that from real estate agents that have taken a look at the property and support my building. And also, I got an adult patrol patrols the children going up and down Ellen Street, going to Victor Alberts, and she's also written a letter and signed it, and I could read it for you if you like. And it says, to whom may concern, I patrol all kids going to and from Victor Alberts School down Ellen Street, crossing Elgin. I observe and see all traffic going in and out of Young Street, and adding another parking lot to the corner of Elgin and Ellen Street will be inviting more traffic to the neighborhood and cause putting our kids in danger, adding to the crazy flow of traffic coming in and out of the proposed parking lot. I'd like to also submit that. And I also got a couple of, if you look at the picture there, they're going at the lot behind my house. When they got that adjacent property, they got a property across the street, which was a house. There's a house still there. There's a house next to it. So they got two more lots there. They developed the parking lot. They got the one that's three parking lots. How much more room are you going to need? Obviously, if you're taking up three, four residential lots already, and that can't convenience your store, obviously you're too big for that area. We're a residential area. We're not a commercial area. And I got pictures of that, too.
Let's hand all this up there.
That's everything. So, officer.
You're over here. Yes. Okay, next up we have I have another Jose Vieira. Is there a second Jose Vieira? Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay, but you don't wish to speak? Okay. Okay. Sean Tihan? Tio?
Yeah.
Okay. Manuel Gomez?
Yes.
You wish to speak? Sure. State your name and address for the record, please, sir.
862 River Brook, River Heights. I say a couple of things very important in the neighborhoods. You know, I live in this neighborhood, like my Joe Vieira by the house now for my father-in-law. I lived there for about 20 years in that house. I raised my daughters there. My two daughters go to Alberta School, go to all the areas around, to the stores. And my wife worked in this area for almost his life before moved to River Heights 3 years ago. And I see these people came there after us, a lot earlier than after us, and try to take over everything in that area, you know, all over everything. Coming to us, say one thing, gobbling the things the other way, the other thing is different. Said, last time there, the parking lot behind the house, said, I do all the fences around, nice this and that. I don't see any fences there. Said, putting bushes there. I don't see anything there. You know, I'm working for the city, Winnipeg, all my life. I work in the private company. I know the rules of the city. But I see a lot of people not doing the rules of the city, or the rules not be good for everybody the same. That's I'm concerned. And that's what happened to these people. You know, come here, say good things, say this is very nice. I see that thing after that. I don't see that thing like that anywhere there. Now show over there beside my nephew two pieces of concrete, big pieces of concrete in the corner of the house, right this corner, right there in this corner. You know, so that thing there in the corner there. Should we yourself go there, take a look? Or the city send somebody there, look, these people do it. And don't come here like a nice people. I don't say bad people, but I'm say be right, be true for everybody. It's very important for somebody to be something, you know. Also, behind my father, my nephew, he have a big house building for the old people, wheelchair people, walking the sidewalk back and forth, go to the store or go somewhere. In the summer, I see a lot of that people can't cross the driveway in the back lane because so much traffic. Now form the back lane about 5-6 meters or 7 meters. The other side, my nephew's house, other approach for people getting in and out in the parking lot. I think this is the city should concern this, take a look, and do the right things for the city of Winnipeg, for the downtown neighborhood. You need to do it. It's very important. And very important, listen to the neighborhood, listen to the people. Not just to listen to the people, the business people, you know. Very important, business people. But the neighbors, the people of their house, pay his tax, very important to anyway. I'm concerned about what's going on some places sometimes. Because I live there, I suffer there, no place to park my car. You know, because that's area there, you know, in the winter, the road zone for the bus, for the traffic, I know it is, and nobody can park in the street. And these people take everything around the house. Or you live in your house, open your window, one car smoking fumes for your house inside. In the dust in the summer, parking lot around the square of your house, smoke the dust to the, your house or my house. Anybody happy? I don't think anybody happy. I'm sorry to say this, but I feel inside me that's over-limit this thing. You know? Number of these people say this is very important things for themselves. I agree. But you have something bigger, you don't fit in a neighborhood or small neighborhood, should go to some big place, then you can make any store you like it, any park you like it, that's way better that way, you know. For my view, that's my concerns. I'm concerned about my nephew have house, don't have a place to park almost. In the back, parking lot, in the side, parking lot. About some years ago, one car from this parking lot came there in the house, make a hole in the house, in the basement. You know, before I left, people park cars in the back, this parking lot, and drop the cars there, still in the cars, drop it there. Police go there, back around, you know. A lot of bad things in the parking lot areas, you know, because so dark in the night, no light is there, and people throw that, you know. And other things, prostitution, everything is coming in that corners, you know. That's what happened. You're talking about filling, making the neighborhood better. You need a Troy to make the neighborhood better, or, you know, better for everybody, not just for one people on one, you know. Or somebody, you know, should be everybody involved, and everybody should do the good things and the good way to improve the neighborhood for better, because that's their number one priority, should be in the city, Winnipeg. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gomez. Any questions? Okay. Next up, we have Jose Cruz. Okay. Chris Chapman. Okay. Catherine Collins. Oh, okay. Diane Fair, or Dwayne Fair, sorry. Who wishes to speak? Okay. Name and address for the record, please.
323 Golden Eagle Drive. I've been a friends of the Vieira family for almost a decade now, and just kind of wanted to say a few things just to concur with a lot of what's already been said. Young's is obviously very, very successful. I'm actually a customer myself, I won't lie. I love it. I love the pocky. It's unbelievable. I keep going back for more. The problem is, with being so successful, they're never going to have enough parking lots no matter what they do. It's going to keep growing. It's going to be successful. If they have this parking lot or they take over the entire neighborhood, they're going to be successful. The biggest problem that I know when I go to visit the Vieira family is finding parking for myself, trying to take my kid and my wife across the street whenever I do find a parking spot. And then when actually being inside the house, windows are closed. You have to keep all the windows closed. There's people walking in through windows, and even though that it's not supposed to be a parking lot yet, it already is a parking lot. And I don't even blame the Young Trading for that. It's where the customers find parking. It's where people will find parking, and that's what they do. I was involved in a small business in Osborne Village where there was no parking, and so I empathize with what they go through with being busy and wanting to be successful and allow more parking. But they're going to be successful no matter what, if this becomes parking or not. But it's such an inconvenience, eyesore with parking. Being able to visit or show up at the building is difficult with exhaust, with noise constantly going through the house, and it's not conducive almost to living, which is no good. And that's all I really have to say.
Anyone else registered, or sorry, is there anyone else in opposition to the application that wishes to speak that I haven't had a chance? Sorry, Mr. Curry. You know the bill? Name and address for the record.
Yes, my name is Fred Curry. I live at 997 Dorchester. I'm a non-resident, non-voting member of three of the resident associations in the neighborhood, have been for getting close to 20 years. I'm not a member of CCIA, but I know many of the people who are, and I still have friends, some nuns who live in the neighborhood who are also friends of mine. I provide planning and political advice to the various resident associations when they want it. I was prepared just to register in opposition, but I spoke to some of the residents who made very moving presentations, and they asked me to say a few words. The good thing about staying at the end, I won't be too repetitive. I can avoid the repetitions. First of all, in terms of the plan, and this actually started close to 10 years ago when the Red River announcement was made, and there was a rush to provide parking. The rumor we heard at the time was as many as 5,000 stalls would be needed. And so businesses, commercial buildings, industrial buildings, and residential buildings being knocked down and converted to surface parking to accommodate this this need. It used to be a lot easier, as Mr. Mitchell is well aware, it used to be a lot easier to get surface parking and gravel parking. In those days, it's a lot tougher now. To try and protect the neighborhood. So the plan was approved by council about 8 or 9 years ago, and we were approached, Ms. Collins and I were approached by members of the city staff who were responsible for setting up the plan. We helped organize it. We refused to participate in the plan because our experience was that these things weren't well defended by the city, that it didn't matter whether it was a zoning bylaw. Used to do a lot of things by use variances, but constant amendment, and this wore us out. So we just said, what's the point of participating in something that's not going to be defended? And they assured us, we had a meeting with six or seven of the senior staff who were trying to recruit us, and they assured us that this plan would be defended, that they were having some success doing it. Well, the plan's been in place for 2 years. The zoning portion of it was passed about a year ago, and we're on to our third amendment already. And it's being done piecemeal, which we're also, it actually says in the plan, it's not supposed to be done sort of lot by lot, but that's how it's happening. So this is very discouraging to us. And you've already had a couple of delegations mention the idea that there was supposed to be consultation and participation, so I won't go into that. There's actually several different kinds of participation that are supposed to take place depending on the kind of change that's being made. This is one of the more extensive ones, and so none of that happened this time. But leaving aside the issue of the plan amendment, which was supposed to protect the neighborhood from this sort of change, the rezoning is a problem all by itself, because it's rezoning from commercial or from residential to commercial in a neighborhood that doesn't need any more commercial development of this kind. And a residential neighborhood, as you've heard a number of people talking about, commercial parking lots backing onto residential areas, actually from the plan report from the last rezoning on this street. In 1971, there were over 3,500 people living in this neighborhood. According to the city website, there are fewer than 2,200 now. And that 3,500 didn't include the development for the Midland Railway or the seniors' high-rise that's there now. So those have gone in since that 3,500, and we're down to 2,200 people in 2006. I imagine that there's less now. And if you go back, you'll find that the reason for the reduction in the population is loss of habitat. There's loss of residential buildings and loss of residential zoned land. So all by itself, that's objectionable. 80% of the dwelling units in this neighborhood are rentals, right? And the income levels are very, very low, which means you've got a whole bunch of people renting and some owning who are low income. Where are they going to go as they're being squeezed out? Now, I don't even think the conversion to parking of the properties on Elgin that were zoned commercial 35 years ago, for the Sherbrooke-McGregor overpass. They were zoned C2 along Sherbrooke. Those mostly are being converted to parking lots now, but it was legal to do it then with the C2 zoning. It's one thing to allow somebody to convert a house, knock a house down and turn it into a parking lot when it's zoned C2. Completely different matter when you're taking property that's zoned residential in an area that needs more residential development and more people living in it, when you're converting that to commercial. So that's a big problem. And this particular corner, when I was much younger, I was a char. I worked on a project. I got $90 a week and a bus pass, and traveled all over the city to clean houses, mostly for elderly people, but did a lot in this particular neighborhood. There were some really wonderful houses that aren't there anymore. They're parking lots. I miss those houses. Yes, some of them were a little bit run down, but I'd still rather have a run-down house with somebody I knew living in it than a parking lot, even if it's a nicely finished parking lot. And is Young's a fine business? Yes. But they're eating up the neighborhood. Now, I mean, I certainly think that, you know, a business that's been in the area for as long as it has, you try and find ways of accommodating so that they can stay there. But if the price of having them stay there is that they're going to eat up more of the housing in the neighborhood, then they should move somewhere else. Now, I don't know what options available, what land's available in the area that's appropriately zoned, but I don't think you should rezone land from residential to commercial to keep a business, even a business that's as wonderful as Young's, in the neighborhood. So hopefully there's some other way of accommodating them. Then, I mean, I was made nervous by the constant references to big box. You don't need a big box store here. You don't need the amount of parking in this particular area that a big box store would require. And I don't think there's anything else I need to say except in reference to what goes on in parking lots. Canadian Tire had a very, very nicely landscaped parking lot behind this. You're well familiar with it, behind this Collins place. They've removed the landscaping. And the reason they've removed the landscaping is we used to clean up in the spring. Every spring, we removed a lot of condoms and drug paraphernalia. And there's a couple of businesses in that neighborhood, as you know, that encourage casual lookers for sex. And they use the bushes in the parking lot. And some of those bushes were very nice bushes, but they were also pretty filthy bushes, too. So there are those sorts of problems. And then there's the other problem with rezoning to commercial, of course, is that you set a precedent. Even if you have a really, really good reason for doing it in this case, I don't think you do, but if you thought you did, you're setting a precedent for other people who will want to do the same thing. I mean, there's a great interest in, it's a great way to make a little bit of money on a piece of property, is to knock the house down or a building that's on it down and turn it to surface parking if you can rent it. A good way to bank land. So I think I'm well within my 10 minutes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your indulgence.
Mr. Curry, any questions?
Just one thing I do need to say. This is the first time I've been speaking before community committees for over 30 years now, and this is the first time I've appeared before a community committee from this part of town where I wasn't speaking to Councillor O'Shaughnessy or to Councillor Lazarenko. So welcome, both of you. Hopefully, well, if you enjoyed as much as they did, you'd be around as long as they were.
Thank you very much for that. Great. Okay. Is there anyone else who hasn't registered in opposition that wishes to speak? Anyone else, anyone who wishes to speak for information to this application? Okay. I'll call up Ross Mitchell, Kathy Tring, and Linda Enga, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for all the residents who came out on this cold night to address this important issue. Certainly, there's lots of emotion involved on both sides of the fence, and a lot of legitimate issues and concerns have been raised. And you know what? It's not black and white. It just absolutely isn't. I can certainly understand where the neighborhood's coming from and where the residents are coming from. And I also understand where the Young family, the Trins, are coming from. So it's really difficult. It's a hard thing for a committee to decide. I'll just sort of run through some of the comments.
Ross, while you're getting ready there, I'm just going to move, ask you a question. You can respond as part of your closing, or either Kathy or Linda can respond. But on the variance there, you're requesting for, and this is where there's an entrance off onto Ellen. There's an existing entranceway, I guess, onto Ellen already, and you're asking for a no side yard. And the city is requesting at least a 10-foot buffer. But you know what? I was just hearing some of the residents, and you know, I can see it visually now. It's sort of like a drive-through around that one house, and I'm thinking, you know, the city planner's report is saying that, you know, there shouldn't be an entrance there.
No, I understand. You mean an entrance?
An exit or an entrance. That there shouldn't be an exit onto Ellen.
The removal of that approach.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we submitted to the committee a petition that the. At the store, and I believe they talk to people. There's no one. I don't think there's anyone on here for River Heights or Dorchester. I think these are like residents of the area, and they made a point of approaching those. So there is a number of people, and so that is part of the public record. Now we did. I did call Mr. Dong, and the response was. Actually, it's Rob DaCosta, I believe. The response was that they, and he's with one of the residents' associations, I believe. The response to me and my offer to meet was they know what's being proposed. They're meeting last Friday to strategize. They're opposed, and they didn't, and there was no need to meet. That was kind of, and I did leave a message for Gordon Allison, and it wasn't returned. So I did make the effort, and I believe Kathy went around and talked to the immediate neighborhoods. I did meet with Jose and his home, and we talked about a few things. So there was an attempt made. I'm not sure, given the response here tonight, what the value would have been, because clearly, it's not a matter of landscaping or fencing or whatever. It's basically no, no, no. This isn't. The twins did not burn the house down. It was destroyed by fire. There's not a house. They're not taking a house down to create this parking lot. It is a situation that exists. Now there's comments from Mr. Dong about the lack of consultation. Again, I challenge that. No one has invested more in this neighborhood than the Young family or the Trins. I mean, without a doubt, they fixed up a couple houses. They bought properties. They rebuilt that store. I don't think I would challenge anyone, including if you add up the dollars. The government has invested as much in this neighborhood as the Young family has. So I think that's important to keep in mind. And they keep investing. And it's no small matter that the store does employ a lot of local residents. So this notion that they're too big for the neighborhood and they can move out is to me contrary to what it takes to create vibrant neighborhood. That's local employment opportunity. And you know what? You got to take the good with the bad sometimes. And yeah, it generates traffic, but it's not a Canadian Tire. It's not a Safeway. It's not a Tim Hortons. And a lot of people drive to these places now. So, you know, I mean, it's never black and white. We've heard from both sides how there is a sentimental attachment to the neighborhood. He's hanging in that house. He's there. You wouldn't believe how nice it is on the inside. It's like walking into a Manhattan condo. It's the work he's done in that house. Now, there have been, I believe,
has been approached to sell that property, but he's there. And more power to him. But the city's changing, you know, since the family bought the place 50 years ago. The city has changed. So, you know, I appreciate that the living environment isn't as great. Here's a view out the side window. Now, if you look at the, if you recall the landscape, at least this area would be landscaped. And this might be, does this truck look familiar? Parking is convenient for everyone in the neighborhood.
Excuse me, Ross, whose trucks are those?
Well, I can't allege that they're anyone, but...
Are those your trucks, or...?
No, they're not my trucks.
They're the neighbor's trucks that they... In the past, they would use freely, using our parking lot as their parking space. We had no problem with that. Sometimes there's, like, four trucks in our parking lot always sees their trucks. Or sometimes before, when they had a bigger family living there, like 12 people in one house, they would have five cars parking in our vehicle, in our parking lot, but we don't say anything. They use it also. But, you know, when, I'm not going to say anything, but, yeah.
And there was some mention of a loading zone. I thought the loading zone might have been requested to provide a place.
They actually could phone in and request to have that removed. They're the only one who could have that removed. We can't remove it for them. Because they had that in place. I think it's for their grandfather that used to live there. And just in case of emergency, they could park their other ambulance there and wheel them to the hospital. I think it was there.
So for the record, it wasn't you weren't requesting that?
No. We didn't request that to be there.
Yeah.
This neighborhood is changing. You know, coming back, I think there's positive signs. But it isn't static. These places don't remain static. It's not like the house is coming down. This is a situation you have now. And if this application is denied, I don't see this changing much. I don't know that there's much of a market for this property. Way it is just not conducive. It's not well suited to housing, or it's probably better suited to commercial, but maybe a commercial building or something. But you know, it's a situation where we're kind of stuck with. Here's a way of at least maintaining or improving its attractiveness. My credibility's on the line, Sid. My credit, I'm not sure who is here to represent the family and some of these other situations, but now my credibility is on the line. The planner's credibility is on the line because he, in his opinion, decided to support this. And this committee's credibility may be on the line. So there's a lot riding on this now. You've heard some comments, I should address you through the chair. With this, the neighborhood, this is not the enemy. This development is not the enemy. This is something that the situation we're dealing with. There's lots going on in that neighborhood. There's lots of good stuff going on. This family, and as I say, it's not black and white. had. And I understand that the client certainly rejected the variance application, and that he'd like to have some conditions that will firm up some of this and we'll be considering. So that's about all I have to say. I also suggest that the house that was destroyed by fire was a rooming house, and off to the neighborhood.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just asking the planner about the variance. Okay, I'm going to put Councillor Sharma into the chair. And with respect to item number 5, the secondary plan amendment, Madam Chair, I'll move that the report of the public service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Contrary, carried.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Contrary, carried.